It's Wednesday, January 20th, and America's next chapter begins today. We start here. Every new president faces challenges, but not like this.
Our country's hurting.
In front of a worried country, on the very stage occupied by rioters 2 weeks prior, Joe Biden is about to be sworn in as president.
To heal, we must remember.
Forget handshakes, forget limo rides. Today, we will ask what will really make the difference to Americans.
You're already starting to see some pushback from some of those Republicans who have been Trump's staunchest supporters.
And whether the small group allowed to witness the events is ready to get to work. From ABC News, this is Start Here. I'm Brad Milkey.
We gather tonight, a nation in mourning, to pay tribute to the lives we have lost.
The story of the American presidency is in so many ways a story of circumstances, right? Even the most powerful men in our nation's history have not gotten to choose what the country looks like as they take power.
The president-elect, the vice president-elect Kamala Harris, and their spouses at the reflecting pool before the Lincoln Memorial, observing a moment of silence to honor the lives lost and the families broken in this pandemic.
Barack Obama did not run for president thinking, I really want to rebuild after an economic collapse. George W. Bush did not think a clear morning in September would define a generation. President Trump certainly did not expect a wet market in China to hold something that could unravel the world.
Amazing grace.
Well, because of circumstances and because of choices by those before him, President-elect Joe Biden is about to take the helm at one of the most delicate points in our nation's history.
To heal, we must remember. It's hard sometimes to remember, but that's how we heal. It's important to do that as a nation. That's why we're here today. Between sundown and dusk, let us shine the lights in the darkness, along the sacred pool of reflection, remember all whom we lost.
What he does after 12 noon today could dramatically alter lives. Here's how this is about to go down. This morning, President Trump will leave Washington. He'll still be commander-in-chief, but he'll also be rather alone.
This week, we inaugurate a new administration and pray for its success in keeping America safe and prosperous. We extend our best wishes, and we also want them to have luck, a very important word.
Vice President Mike Pence has said he will be at the Capitol watching the next president get sworn in, along with most of Congress. Kamala Harris will be sworn in as vice president. Joe Biden will be sworn in as president. And then, in front of a small crowd and in front of the Obamas, the Bushes, the Clintons, and no Trumps, Joe Biden will try to speak to a fractured nation. But who's listening? And what do we want to hear? You're going to get lots of reaction later today by lawmakers, by analysts. I want to pose some of these questions, though, to just some of our fellow Americans, hardworking people. What do you want? What do you need to hear as one era ends and another begins? We got two folks who have joined us on Start Here before who are really emblematic of the types of voters who swung this election. Bob Hazelwood is a farmer in Kansas. He called us right after that first debate in September and said, I might vote Democrat for the first time in my life. Shannon Stafford is a hairstylist in Georgia, a state, of course, that went blue for the first time in decades. Guys, I'm so glad to have you here. Bob, let's start with you. How has your life changed over the last year, over the last 4 years?
Oh, man. Outside of Topeka, Kansas, which is just, you know, an hour west of Kansas City. Most of my life, I've farmed for a living. We raised corn and soybeans. I can't see it's anything that's been any drastic change because, you know, as far as outside of the last year being restricted on a social life because of COVID a little bit.
Right.
My wife and I have done, you know, tried to avoid people that we've not had much contact with. We've even limited our family engagements. So that's probably the biggest change in our life. So.
Well, and I remember in September you'd been leaning toward Donald Trump. Did you vote for Trump in 2016?
In 16, I voted one of the independent candidates. I did not like my choices, so I was the first time I ever pulled put a D in front of that, that I pulled that slot.
It was the first time you pulled the lever for a Democrat. You voted for Biden.
Yep. I voted for Biden. So that was something that was a little difficult for me to do, but we did it.
On January 15th, we're signing Monster, a big, beautiful monster, $40 to $50 billion to our farmer. That's our farmers will be taken in. I keep saying go buy larger tractors.
The Trump administration has treated the farmers well as far as getting us over the tariffs and the TIF with. But there was other things that I was concerned about.
That's what I was going to say. Why not vote for Trump if it sounds like you were like, hey, like my life is okay, same as it was 4 years ago?
Well, you know, there was other things, and I think the way I looked at things, and I tried to look at things beyond the ag sector, and I think that the U.S. was probably losing some of their standing in the world.
Because China's taken tremendous advantage of the United States. We helped rebuild China. We gave them $500 billion a year. How stupid are the people that represented our country?
Everything's based on a world market now, and I think that we need the U.S. needs to remain their standard or be a leader in the world, not someone that tries to stir up things. So,
And so with that, let's actually bring in the other guest in our conversation here, Shannon Stafford. You actually had to vote several times in the last few months. You're in Georgia, right? Where are you in Georgia?
I'm actually in Savannah, Georgia.
Right, in Savannah. So last time we talked, you were trying to, you know, figure out how to keep your business afloat. You run a hair salon. There were closures because of the pandemic. I guess people always ask, you know, are you better off than 4 years ago? What has your life been like?
Since we were able to reopen the doors, and of course that was difficult because Savannah, you know, in Georgia, we were one of the first states to reopen.
When the governor was announcing, it was Monday, before he finished getting it out of his mouth, our phones were blowing up.
I trust my stylist to take the necessary precautions to keep me safe, and that's what she does.
You thought the toilet paper situation was crazy? Wait till 300 million people want a haircut at the same time.
But surprisingly, business had really picked up. And I think part of it was, you know, you found people coming in from different states looking to be not only just pampered, but making sure that they stay groomed. So we saw
Had people being like, I can't get a hair appointment where I'm at. I'm going to come to you in Savannah.
Yes, it was a lot of that. It was a lot of individuals traveling from out of state to come in to be serviced. So
it was not me and Bob. I'll tell you that. We have similar hairline. So Shannon, I guess I find myself thinking, well, like you're kind of doing okay as well going in November, right? So how did you end up voting?
Well, to be honest, I felt like I wanted to go in a different direction with not voting for Trump in hopes to have a different result as far as a different approach in combating the COVID.
COVID was at the top of your mind.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, because it's kind of the root of so many different things that's going on.
So what are each of you hoping to hear then from your new president, right? From Joe Biden when he actually takes over the job today?
Well, I'm hoping that he continues to keep a small business individuals in mind.
There is real pain overwhelming the real economy.
And making sure that he continues to put things in place so that we are able to stay afloat and also not go into debt.
But where is the cutoff? You talk about small businesses. Will you be raising taxes on small businesses?
No,
remember, you're talking about.
Look, you have 90% of the businesses out there are mom and pop businesses that are out there that employ less than 50 people. There'll be no raising taxes them. We have to provide them with the ability to reopen. We have to provide more help for them, not less help.
I think that we have, we've kind of have torn it down some. So I'm hoping that we can rebuild. I'm hoping that it brings families closer together, individuals closer together. We become more sympathetic. I think that, you know, we should be more aware of things that can happen. We take a lot for granted. So I'm just hoping for unity, just all the way across the board.
Hmm. Bob, there are things you need to hear.
Where our country's hurting. I agree with Shannon. We need some unity. And as Shannon was talking about that, I just was sitting there thinking, and I don't want to see this happen, but if we remember back on after 9/11, how the country seemed like it came together for a cause, and I don't want to, I'm not saying we need that, but we need something to bring the country together. COVID didn't do it. It probably spread us more apart because of how political it got from the start. What's scary is that so many people feel that the election was stolen, when you have all the states certifying the election, and when you stop and think about it, there might have been some fraud somewhere, and there probably is fraud in every election to some extent that we don't know about, but to the scale that it would take to flip the election is just, I just don't see
that. So that never held water with you after November 3rd?
No. That never did.
They have mailmen with lots of it. Did you see what's going on? Take a look at West Virginia. Mailmen selling the ballots. They're being sold. They're being dumped in rivers. This is a horrible thing for our country.
There is no.
This is not.
There is no.
This is not going to end well.
There is
okay.
No,
this is
not.
The former president was talking about the election being rigged before the election even have happened.
My belief that this election was stolen. We were cheated. I don't think 75 million people voted for Trump. I think close to 85 million.
You say a lie long enough and often enough, people start to believe it.
Do you talk with those people, by the way, Bob? Like, do you have friends or colleagues or anything who's like, this was a sham? And what do you say to that?
I try to change the subject for friendship's sake. I've got the people around here that I know that come across, and they start talking, you know, and so I just kind of let them talk and try to change the subject. So,
right. Are you guys hopeful at all? Like, is there room for optimism here, or is this just, you know, we're in a worrisome place right now as a country?
I think we're still in a worrisome place. There's going to have to be a lot of healing and time yet before the ones that didn't agree with the outcome of the election. It's going to take some while for them to get over that. And I don't know when that'll be.
I'm hopeful. I think that this too shall pass, definitely. I think that we're going to get over this. But it's going to take some time, of course. It's going to be a lot of things that needs to be cleaned up.
What happened to Floyd happens every day in this country, in education, in health services.
Racism it's always been here, you know, for definitely before my time.
It's time for us to stand up in Georgia's name and say, get your knee off our necks.
I think with the change of leadership, I think that we will maybe start seeing it lie more dormant instead of being so outward with it. I think that our leadership kind of encouraged them to be very vocal and to display it instead of just kind of, you know, just going through life, living through life and trying to be as respectful as possible.
You know, really, I guess when I listen to both of you, like, you've talked about policies, you've talked about your backgrounds, but really it sounds like you're both just asking for Biden to make this, I don't know, this call for normalcy, like this call upon our moral compass in some way. Like, that's what you want to hear, sort of a baseline here. Last question, and then I'll let you guys get out of here. But I do wonder, if you had the chance to speak to Joe Biden, like, in the moments before he went out onto that stage today, I mean, you voted for him. What would you say to him? Like, what would you want him to hear from you?
Well, I would have to say, let's wipe all debt clean. Take away student loans. Let's have a new beginning, new start for everyone, you know. Hey.
All right. Bob, final thoughts for him, for the man?
Good luck.
All right.
Especially that one, yeah.
He's got a lot on his plate.
Yes, he does.
And I got to say, like, sometimes I feel like we feel stakes in a big way. Sometimes we feel them in a small way. But there are stakes, from what we could just hear from you guys, there are stakes for everyone involved. In your cases, from Topeka, Kansas to Savannah, Georgia. We'll all be watching this. Bob, Shannon, thank you so much for the time.
Thank you, Brad.
Okay, bye, guys.
Next up on Start Here, words matter, but so do actions. We're about to see a lot of each as this day goes on. Back in a bit. With daylight saving time upon us, we're looking forward to more daylight and longer days from March through November. And while setting our clocks forward gives us the illusion of more time, it doesn't necessarily help businesses find qualified candidates any sooner. Fear not, there is a solution. ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter is your 24/7 hiring partner working tirelessly to connect you with the right candidate. Once you post your job on ZipRecruiter, it gets distributed to over 100 job sites, ensuring you reach a diverse pool of qualified individuals. Their smart technology scans thousands of resumes, matching you with people whose skills perfectly align with your job requirements. Spring forward with a new hiring partner, ZipRecruiter, and find top talent sooner. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address to try ZipRecruiter for free, ZipRecruiter.com/start here. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/start here. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Have you ever wondered what you would do with an extra hour in your day? I think about this all the time. I'm like, I would be so productive. I'd exercise more, or I'd read a book, or I'd take a nap, like restore myself. We often find ourselves yearning for these extra hours, but the real question is, what would you do if you were making yourself a priority? Well, how about therapy? It can help you discover what's important so you can make the most of your time. If you've ever benefited from therapy, you know how transformative it can be. It's not just for those who have experienced major trauma. Therapy empowers you to learn positive coping skills, set boundaries, and become the best version of yourself. If you're considering starting therapy, you should give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and tailored to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire. You'll be matched with a licensed therapist. And here's the beauty of it. You can switch therapists if you're not finding the right fit. No additional charge. Take the first step. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/start here today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/start here.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm truly honored to be your next president and commander in chief, and I'll always be a proud son of the state of Delaware.
Now, the speech, the pageantry, that's for all of us, right? That's for Americans getting us all on the same page. But the key to Biden's success could well be in the halls of Congress. Well, we might already be getting a taste of what the beginning of his term will look like. Let's bring in Mary Bruce, who is stationed outside the Capitol right now. She's followed these members of Congress for years. Although, Mary, I'm proud to be introducing you now as ABC's new senior White House correspondent. Hey!
Thank you. Yes, moving across town.
Well, and so glad to have you, considering you've covered Biden so closely, but also all the people we're about to talk about. Clearly, the first question facing Congress, Mary, has got to be, are we all in agreement that Joe Biden is the rightfully elected president? Like, what is the scene going to be like later today?
Well, look, you certainly are seeing Republican leaders in Congress lining up behind Joe Biden in the sense that they are ready to help him turn the page here. And you're going to see that starting with the very beginning of this day. Joe Biden has invited congressional leaders of both parties to join him at church. And that sends a very clear message of unity.
The mob was fed lies. They were provoked by the president and other powerful people.
And of course, Mitch McConnell has said bluntly now, you know, in no uncertain terms, Joe Biden is president. He does think President Trump committed an impeachable offense, and he's ready to get down to some business here.
So our marching orders from the American people are clear. We're to have a robust discussion and seek common ground.
Which, like you said, a huge deal for just talking about impeachment. Let's get back to that in a bit. as far as governing the country, as powerful as Mitch McConnell is, Mary, like, there are members that can essentially just block Joe Biden's agenda, not his entire agenda, but parts of his agenda all by themselves, right?
Sure. Look, it's not as if Trumpism all of a sudden has been wiped from Capitol Hill and Washington.
I have, you know, deep concerns about the direction of foreign policy under a Biden administration.
I think it would be a big mistake to raise taxes on individuals and businesses as they struggle through an economic recovery.
Joe Biden is still going to face some stiff opposition in Congress, not just from Republicans who support and continue to back President Trump, but just because some of the proposals that he's putting out are going to be things that are going to be hard for Republicans to swallow, a massive nearly $2 trillion stimulus bill.
But the one thing that concerns me that nobody seems to be talking about anymore is the massive amount of debt that we continue to rack up as a nation.
A sweeping immigration reform plan. These are things that are going to be hard for him to get Republicans on board with.
We see a 9,000 person caravan coming from Honduras, and they're very open in terms of why they're doing it, because President-elect Biden has stated in the debates that we're not going to deport anybody in the first 100 days, so they're going to take advantage of that opportunity.
And of course, remember, with a 50-50 split in the Senate, that's a really tight majority for Democrats. And Biden has said all along, even with Democratic control of the Senate and Congress, he wants Republicans on board. He wants bipartisanship. And look, you're already starting to see some pushback from some of those Republicans who have been Trump's staunchest supporters.
Are you telling me that you don't think that the $1.4 billion that has been enacted, that has been directed towards the border wall system, that you will not follow the law and obligate that? I just am trying to understand what your position is going to be.
Just look at what Josh Hawley did yesterday in the Senate, a confirmation hearing for the DHS secretary. It became clear that Hawley is going to try and block that. I don't think you're going to see most of Biden's nominees face that kind of uphill battle.
The one thing I want to say is I think you're an outstanding choice by President Biden. I've known you for a long time. I think you're loyal to the president. I think you understand the world.
But certainly, you know, it's not just going to be smooth sailing for Joe Biden in Congress.
Which is so striking considering a lot of the national security concerns right now. In fact, one of the things DHS has been asked to talk about so much recently is far right-wing extremism, which Josh Hawley was accused of sort of inflaming over the last several days. If McConnell is saying, yes, we should all get along, but like the rest of Congress is not doing that, what is this about to be like for Joe Biden? Like, you've been with him. How is he feeling about this challenge in front of him right now?
Yeah, we know that they are eager to hit the ground running. Even today, on Inauguration Day, Biden is planning to sign about a dozen executive orders.
There is a lot to do. Some would say that ours is an ambitious goal, but we do believe with hard work and with the cooperation and collaboration of the members of the United States Congress that we can get it done.
It's intended to send a shock to the political system, but also to set a clear tone about the path forward. So he's going to be undoing some of President Trump's most controversial moves. He's going to be rejoining the Paris Climate Accord, undoing that so-called Muslim ban, but also taking steps towards Biden's agenda items. So, for instance, he's going to be requiring masks on all federal lands in areas where Biden can. He also, we know, is planning to send Congress this massive new immigration bill. So Biden is eager to really fulfill all of those campaign promises. The challenge, Brad, is that he's going to have to do all of this while the Senate is likely to be mired and consumed in the trial of President Trump.
Excuse the emotion, but when I die, Delaware be written on my heart.
But I have to say, Brad, when you listen to Joe Biden, especially yesterday as he was bidding farewell to his beloved home state of Delaware, you can tell that the moment is starting to hit him. Biden became overwhelmed with emotion, tearing up, choking up, as he was recognizing it seemed that forever his life was about to change. After spending nearly five decades in politics, three runs at the White House, the moment seeming to hit Biden, he is about to become the 46th president of the United States.
Mary Bruce will be out there at the Capitol essentially all day today. We can hear the generator back there, Mary. I hope there's something to keep you warm. Good luck today. Have a good one.
Thanks, Brad.
And one last thing. Hey, between COVID precautions and all the security, like, is this going to be the smallest crowd to witness a presidential inauguration in history, Mark?
You know, for inaugurations, this probably will be the smallest ever.
That is the official presidential historian for ABC News, Mark Updegrove.
You could look back to George Washington, which was relatively small because it was in a small hall in Philadelphia.
And so I figured we should probably ask him today how we should think about these events that are about to unfold. What is the point, historically, what is the point of an inauguration speech?
You know, it is the overture of your administration.
This American carnage stops right here and stops right now.
You are setting the tone for what is to come in the next 4 years.
We must pick ourselves up, dust ourselves off, and begin again the work of remaking America.
And he said you can tackle policy, you can outline tangible goals, but in a moment of uncertainty, of unrest, it is really simply your job to get Americans to trust you, to trust that you're there for them.
I guess I think back to two inaugurations, particularly maybe three. One is the inauguration of Abraham Lincoln in the Civil War in 1861. His very election to the presidency incited the Civil War. Really, it was what caused the Confederate states to go over the edge and launch a civil war against the United States. And Lincoln knows this upon taking the presidency. So he chooses his words very carefully, knowing that there are dark storm clouds descending on his presidency. The other one is Franklin Roosevelt, who took office in 1933 during the depths of the Great Depression.
Let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Knowing that we had never experienced the economic ravages that we were going through at that moment in time. And the American people were desperately looking for leadership to bring them through that crisis.
Mr. Vice President, are you prepared to take the oath of office as President of the United States?
I am, sir.
And then the final one is not so much, as I mentioned, it's not an inauguration, but a swearing-in. And that is the swearing-in of Gerald Ford when Richard Nixon stepped down from the presidency due to the unraveling scandal of Watergate.
My fellow Americans, our long national nightmare is over.
I think what Gerald Ford said at that moment, I think, resonates today. Our Constitution works. Our great republic is
a government of laws and not of men. Here, the people rule.
And you will see here today that the people rule.
What's going to be in the speech today then? Like without the transcript in front of you, what are you expecting?
Well, without question, there will be a call to unity. Under the best of circumstances, Brad, there is a call for unity.
There's nothing, and I say this again, nothing this country is unable to do when we decide to do it together. We have faced tougher times before.
There is a peaceful transition of power from one party to another in most inaugurations. Rarely does a president pass on the presidency to a member of his own party. So almost invariably, presidents call for unity. That's going to be more important in this case than perhaps at any time since the Civil War, since Abraham Lincoln took the helm in 1861. So there's no question about that. I think given that Joe Biden is a creature of the Senate, that he spent 36 years in the Senate chamber, he will reach out to his colleagues on the other side of the aisle and make some gesture indicating that he is looking forward to cooperating with them, to working with them toward the betterment of America.
I didn't hear malarkey there, so that's a no malarkey. You're not betting on the word malarkey.
I don't see malarkey, Brad, but that doesn't mean that the critics won't talk about the malarkey of the speech. That's distinctly possible, but it's probably not going to come from Joe Biden.
All right, all systems go. The big moment happens at noon Eastern, but we will have live inaugural coverage all day on ABC, abcnews.com, the ABC News app. We'll have a special episode of Start Here, breaking it all down first thing in the morning. I'm Brad Milkey. See you tomorrow.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at caskers.com.